Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, your action plan for real estate success. Here, we stay ready. Staying ready is being mindful of time and actively doing the things on a daily basis so we stay prepared for the opportunities that come our way. Join your host, Emeka, as he dives into the world of real estate investing, interviewing experts and sharing actionable insights. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe today. We would love to know each and every one of you. So please go to GubanaEquity.com and click Invest With Us today so we can figure out how we can get to your investing goals.
All right, Yosef. Tell the world a little bit about you, who you are, what you do.
Hi, Emeka. Thank you for having me. Great to be here. So I'm an attorney from New York. I have two daughters and I do real estate investing at night and becoming a W-2 attorney during the daytimes. My journey started in 2019. Reflecting myself about how my journey has been and what next. And I was thinking if me being an attorney is something that I aspire to maintain for the rest of my life. And my conclusion was not, because I was always looking for something exciting, adventurous, new, and I couldn't just stay or focus on one thing, right? It's good and bad, but that was me. So I started looking into different ventures, because I wanted to become a business owner and investor after reading the Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad and Poor Dad. And I vetted different vehicles like stocks and whatnot, REITs, and nothing really thrilled me until I started learning about multifamily investing. So 2020, I got into the game. I joined a couple of masterminds and met great partners. Started education and started looking at deals. And my first deal we closed in December 2020. And from that point on until now, I became a partner about 21 deals. We just sold that first property a couple months ago in August. So that was my first full cycle. And then I had another deal sold a couple of days ago, the 17 unit in Ohio. So that's my second property sold. And I have a third one under contract, hopefully to be closed next week. And I maintain the rest of the properties as GP and LP. So, yep, in a nutshell, that's my real estate journey, being an attorney and father.
Now, how are you finding the time to do all of this? You know, I know a couple of attorneys myself, and they're very busy, and it's active, and it's nonstop, and I swear it feels like they're doing it 7 days a week. So where are you finding the time to, you know, manage both?
Well, I was thinking about time a couple of days ago, because people talk about, okay, how do you save time? How do you become efficient? But when I deeply reflected about time, I realize there's no really saving time, right? It's time runs no matter what. So it's more of reallocation of your time to whatever that's in front of you. So I just try to become more intentional and strategic as to what I want in my life and how I want to spend my time on. So being clear on and intentional on the things that I value the most, I allocate time first on those and then try to respect someone else's time. So having all this in mind, I try to time block and prioritize and using some tools, I try to make the maximum efficiency of myself. I guess that's how I manage my time.
No, oh, I love it. I love it. It sounds like you always have your why in mind, like why you're an attorney, why you're in real estate. And is that something that you're constantly thinking about every day? Do you wake up and you like, I know some people who write goals every day. So are you waking up and always keeping focus on, you know, what's the most important to you?
I try to. Yeah, I don't really write down goals every day because I already have a lot written down. I carry my phone, it's connected to my computer. So there are a list of things, there are a list of values, there are a list of goals that I want to achieve on a daily basis, weekly basis, and monthly basis, and yearly basis, right? So I like to read it out. I like to reflect upon those and be intentional as to how what I do now would affect the goals or visions and missions that I set up a month later, years later. So yes, but every time, you know, things just don't work out as you plan, right? So you have to be able to also have that flexibility of being able to pivot to different things. Like if the things that don't go as you planned, you should be able to, you know, just jump on and try different things and to different ways.
I love that. And you talk about flexibility, and you're in New York and you invest out of state. So how are you making that happen?
So first, obviously, I had a lot of limiting beliefs as to, okay, how can I trust people out of state, and how can I find the properties when I'm not there? How can I invest when I don't have a lot of money? Things like that. But it's just a belief system, right? As soon as you change your mindset, that limiting beliefs disappeared. I was able to invest out of state because I had a great team of partnership. And I had a great resources to educate myself from, and then just being constantly thankful for what I had and taking actions towards what I want, right? That's the three things that I constantly do to achieve my goals. And basically, multifamily investing was the same thing. I learned about it because I was able to join a mastermind. Had a good education, and through the mastermind, I was able to find good partnerships, and leveraging their skill set, leveraging their location, I was able to find good properties, and we were able to raise capital and close, and we were able to manage the assets because it's not just me, one player team. We have a team of people where everyone has their own roles and responsibilities. So as long as everybody works on that and towards a common goal, and things work.
I love that. I love that. And how would you how what would you say to a brand new investor who wants to get into multifamily as well? And maybe they think they want to do everything alone, or they don't have the money for their mastermind. What would you tell them to be their first step so they can get to where you are today?
I always say ENA, education, networking, and taking an action. Right education is just like I mentioned before, right education is first thing because you don't know what you don't know, right? By educating yourself with right material, then you're able to set a clear goals and plans. And then by doing so, and also taking as you're meeting lots of good potential partners, you do a lot of networking calls, right? I did a lot of networking calls in the beginning to be able to find a partnership. So now you have a right education and clear path and plans and action plans where you can execute upon, and you have a team of people that you trust. Now with this, you just constantly execute, taking massive actions, right? For example, underwriting, calling the brokers, looking for deals, and raising capitals, right? And actually literally closing and managing an assets. By constantly doing this and persistently, that you'll get the result.
I love that. I love that. And I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago we were talking, and I said I was a manager for a retail company, and I have the manager experience, so I think that's to be my strong suit, maybe managing a deal. But we had a heart to heart, and you're like, maybe that's not the best way. Maybe boots on the ground is going to be my key, because where I was an attractive market. So how do people, or how would you influence people to figure out what their strength is? Where can the new investor figure out, what they can do and what they can contribute to a deal?
Well, and I get to when I get to do the networking calls with those people who are literally starting new, and they ask that question a lot, like, where can I add value, right? And each time I tell them, well, think about the roles in a good real estate syndication team, right? Multifamily syndication team. We have boots on the ground, we have capital raiser, we have underwriter, we have somebody who could source the deal, we have somebody who has done a deal before, so who could add as an experience level, right? And we could have maybe investor relationship, marketing. So if you count, there are maybe seven, eight roles where you can actually lay them down, right? And then I tell them, look, just go through one by one and see where you fit, like where you fit in. If you're living in a market that you want to invest in, then obviously you can be boots on the ground. That's your niche. For example, in my case, I live in New York. I wanted to invest out of state. I cannot become a boots on the ground, right? I have never done a deal before, so I cannot add value as an experienced sponsor. Next, you just check box like that. Maybe capital raising, maybe I'm able to do that because I'm from New York. Underwriting, yeah, I'm learning, so maybe I could do that. Sourcing the deal, maybe I could call the brokers. And being a KP, I don't have a high net worth, so I'd probably not be able to do that. So you get to choose which one you are realistically able to do. And you only have a handful. If you're starting, unless you become boots on the ground, there are only a handful of things that you could do. Raising capital, trying to find a deal, source a deal, and underwriting. But if you think about it, raising capital also you need to have a credibility to raise capital. So you're gonna have to leverage someone else's operating credibility anyway. So you being alone, there are not many things. That's why I think in the beginning it's great to have this exercise and realistically understand what you can do and do more education and do more networking and find the right partnership where they lack the positions that you can fill in, right?
No,
But in the beginning, there are not many.
I love that. And I think we saw in 2020, there was a lot of newcomers who came in, right? Interest rates dropped, 2 and 3%. And we saw a lot of newbies in there. And now it's 2024, and I think it's a complete different story now. So what would you say is some of the biggest mistakes that you see newcomers do when they get into maybe not only multifamily, but real estate in general?
Well, so now I'm into this real estate investing game for about 4 or 5 years, like towards 5 years, right? It's really different. My mindset has also been evolved and changed from the time that I just joined the real estate game. And then now, after 4 or 5 years, after having my first full cycle, being part of the asset management for multiple deals, in the beginning, and I don't know if I could call it a mistake or anything. There's nothing wrong, but in the beginning, all my focus was to become a GP, right? Okay, GP, LP is boring. I want to become GP, and which makes sense, right? People want to be active. So I saw a lot of people who were trying to become a GP, and so through different roles, right? Could raise capital, finding deals. They somehow obtained a GP partnership, right? And then through 2021, 2022, there are a lot of deals were closed. So I saw many people become part of the many deals and got some acquisition fees, made some monies, and then just quit their job, right? Thinking that they will do this full time. And now I see many of them looking for a job or going back to where they were before because there were not many deals in 2023 and 2024. Thankfully, in the beginning, I wanted to quit my W-2. But now looking back after just going through this cycle, I think it was great that I was able to just keep my W-2 job and do real estate at the side because I was able to, I think, just sustained through this 2023 and 2024 because I maintained my job, right? So that was what I noticed from some people that I networked. They say, okay, I don't think it's a mistake or I don't think it's wrong, but they could stick to their job maybe longer and see how things were going to go. Then it would have been better for them to be able to sustain, maybe stronger.
No, that's a great take because I was thinking about the same thing because I don't think people understood or understand because I definitely didn't, but Multifamily specifically is not get rich quick, right? I think since everybody was getting into it, everyone thought, it's get rich quick. I just got the acquisition fee, 2 to 5%. Like I can do this. So if you can give someone three actionable steps to do today to get into real estate, what would they be?
Three actionable steps. The
Put
basics
you on the
that I always
spot.
emphasize, it's just first you got to educate yourself. So I feel like I'm just repeating over and over, but I guess I do that because I truly believe these are the things that you must do to be able to just be successful in the real estate game. Educate, right? You just don't know what you don't know until you learn it. So educate, but learn it from the right people. And then the next step is do lots of networking calls, go to the meetups, go out to see people, just to find that the team. So you got to build up your own team because you can't do it. This is not a me sports, right? You got to be able to do this through a team. Otherwise, it's lonely, but it's just a lot of work, right? I'm sure it's from all these roles, there are roles that you want to play and roles that you don't want to play. So for example, I thought I would be doing, I thought I'll be able to do all the asset management in the roles, right? I thought I would be doing, getting on the phone calls with the property management companies, going through the expenses and just find out how to reduce the expenses and how to push the rent in the right way. And after going through all this, I realize, it's a lot of work. Do I really enjoy going through every line by line item by lines of expenses and trying to figure out why they spend $20 here, $30 there? I don't know if I really enjoy it or not. I mean, I did it because I had to do it and I had to learn. But after having done it, and I think, oh, maybe someone else in my team is a lot better, and that's actually what had happened too. Like I have a partner who's good at going through the line items and finding, the expenses that we need to question. So, as a team, because we have team members who could do it better than the others, it works, right? But if it's just me alone, it would be a lot tougher because there are definitely things that I don't want to just do myself. You have to delegate it anyway to someone else. And, having a team is that's benefit of having a team, good partnership, and also, emotional support as well when we go through ups and downs through the cycles. So you have to definitely network and meet good people and surround yourself with good people. And lastly, just do it. When you say you're going to do something, just do it, right? And that's a proof that people could trust you by looking at you and taking in actions. That's how you prove that you're man of word, right?
Do what you say you will do. And what, the market changing, do you have any, guesses or assumption of where the market's gonna go in the next 2 years?
This is a part that I'm not an expert at, so I don't know about reading the market cycles. But I mean, the things I hear is obviously I think it's going to be better definitely towards the end of next year. I think, and I based on what I hear, I think still through 2025, maybe through the mid 2025, we'll probably see the inflation still staying high. People feel like they're going through sort of recession. But hopefully, I mean, towards the end of next year, things will be better. Maybe after the election, we'll see different perspectives. But I'm being ready. I sold two properties. I have some dry powder just, sitting here to just so that I could. I'm waiting for the opportunity to come in 2025. So that's how I see the next year,
I
right?
love it. I love it. And with that, we're going to move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everybody the same three questions. Question one, if you could recommend two books to a new investor, what would they be?
I always pick Rich Dad and Poor Dad, right? It's just I think it's so well written in a way that it's very easy to follow. It just gives you fundamentals of how you should change your mindset, right? And I think everyone must read that book. And the second book, just because we're talking about real estate, multifamily syndication, one book that helped me, well, I'll pick two. One, Wilbur Profit's multifamily book, and the other one, Joe Fallas, the red, but what was the title of the book? I just remember it was
The book on syndication. I know
a
exactly
Joe
what, I'll put in the show notes. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
The thing is,
Joe Fallas, best ever.
I gotta figure it out. Joe Fairless
Let's figure that
syndication
out.
book. I'm typing it in. It's best ever apartment syndication book.
Right. Best ever apartment syndication. Sorry, because his thing is best ever friend. So that's a book I think I read for the first time when I just joined a multifamily game. That was the first book, and I really liked it because it kind of laid out the step-by-step guide as to how to get into the multifamily, what to study, and how to set up the thought leadership platforms, etc. So that's like a manual of how you could join the multifamily syndication game. And obviously, education itself is not enough, right? You should be able to really take the action and actually do it. So it's just a book that gives you a lot of knowledge. So it's a great book, but again, it's just half the story. You need to be able to actually do it, what you see, what you read from the book.
Second question, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that's helped you in your career?
A lot. I mean, I can't pick one, but since this is about real estate and maybe business, what impacted me the most? Interestingly, it's not about real estate. The quote that impacted me most for the last couple of years is from my mentor, that he told me, count how many summers you have left with your child. Right, and that I directly connects to my values. So my daughter is 14 years old, my older one, younger one's 12, and literally when I counted, I only have like 4 summers left, because after 18 she's not, I hope she does, but she's probably gonna spend more time with her friends, right? So it's literally 4 summers that I only have with her. And if you think about it and how many summers you have, you really get to think like, okay, what can I do to spend this summers the most valuable and the most exciting time with my daughter? And it got me really deep thinking, right? So that was the quote that I constantly think for the last few years. That's like a motivating factor to do what I do, right? To why I work and why I do real estate business, why I trying to acquire the business as well.
That's impactful. And the third question is, if you could have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
I don't know if it was you, but I think I got this question before, long time ago. I think my answer back then was, I want to sit down with Jesus Christ, his face, listen to his teaching, and just see, right? Like, is that he's real? I mean, he's real now, but in his physical form, I want to touch him.
No, I get it. I love it. I love it. How can people reach out to you? Is there anything you need? Anything that you'd want the audience to reach out to you for? How can they
Just.
contact you?
My social media is a great way to reach out to me, and my social media handles are all the same. Yosef, your bro Seth, Yosef, Yourbrosef, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever platform that you're on, punch that and reach out to me. I'm an open book if you want to learn about multifamily syndication or multifamily investing. I'm an open book. I'd love to network and I'd love to teach. I love to educate people. And I don't know if I can mention one of the next like a free education
Do it.
webinar, which is being scheduled on November 23rd. So it will be out there. So if you learn more about multifamily syndication, and you can probably join.
Cool. And I'll add that link in the show notes. Well,
Yeah, you
Yosef
can.
Yabrosov, thank you so much for joining the podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Mika, for having me.